Welcome back to Christian Leaders Institute. I'm John Kenny, as you know by now, and we are heading down just to our last several lectures here on this incredibly important topic of church revitalization. And starting now, till we get to the end, we're going to be talking about the very important subject of leadership. And in these next three lectures, we're going to be talking about kind of applied leadership and really figuring out what it means to be a leader. Because I'm sure you know that being a leader in an organization is not just a title. If you're in the business world, just because you're the boss, it doesn't mean like everybody follows you. Or if you're in the military and somebody has a higher rank than you, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're like a natural leader and people follow them or respect them and honor them and want to serve well under them. So the same thing is true in ministry. Just because you might have a title of pastor or elder or whatever it is in your ministry, that in itself does not mean that people are going to want to follow your lead and be inspired by you. So what I'm really saying is the position doesn't make the leader. And so we're going to, again, spend some time talking about what it is that makes a person a leader. What does the Bible have to say about leadership? And so we're going to really press into this a lot. Again, our next, these three and then the following three after, we're going to be hitting this topic of leadership really hard. So let's pray and get going. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. As these lectures are being listened to, I pray, Lord, that you will build up an army of leaders in your church, Lord, an army of revitalized leaders who will seek your will, who will seek your glory, and Lord, that through your Spirit you will empower them to do great things for your name's sake. So Lord, bless this time that we have together today to discuss these things. We ask this in your name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start off with today by looking at two different definitions for leadership. The first one is going to be one, again, from my good friend, mentor Harry Reeder. This is a definition that he uses in his book, The Leadership Dynamic. And it's also, he speaks about this a little bit in his book on church revitalization, From Embers to a Flame. Well, anyway, Harry gives a broad definition of leadership that I think is very helpful. And if you do any kind of a Google search and you say, you know, what is leadership, there's going to be like a million different definitions. But I'm going to stick with Harry's because I think it's really helpful. And Harry's goes like beyond what church is. It's just in general leadership. And so what Harry defines it as is a leader influences others to effectively achieve a defined mission together. And so we're going to just pull this definition up into, pull it apart into three sections, and really what makes a leader a leader. Okay, so the first thing is, as you notice, a leader is influences. So a leader has an impact on others. A leader changes the way other people think, the way other people behave, the way other people understand things. You're an outside force that kind of redirects them or changes them. So there's influence. A leader is helping them get to a place they probably may not have gotten to on their own. And there's a lot of different ways that a leader can do that. We're going to talk about it. You can be a model. You can mentor them. You can manage them. You can motivate or inspire them, or, you know, all these kind of things that you can do. Now, I really like Harry's definition here about influence, because you can't make people do something. And that's one of the lessons I learned in ministry. You can't fix people. You can't make decisions for people. You can't. You could have the most wonderful idea and be so excited, but you can't automatically just get people to do that. The most that you can do is to influence them in a very positive way. To catch a vision, to be inspired, to realize that something in them needs to change. So, leaders influence, and I would go as far as to say if you're not exerting any influence at all, then you're probably not a leader, right? The second piece of this is leaders have a measure of effectiveness about them, that leaders, they influence others to be effective, okay? So you're not just influencing people to pick up a habit or you're influencing them to become more effective. And we talk about being effective. It's, in a sense, like getting the job done. We have a goal. We have a target. We have an objective. We have a mission, whatever you want to call it. And being effective in accomplishing that and getting it done. Now, in ministry, though, the ends don't always justify the means. You can't, kind of be a jerk or just kind of be a bull in a china shop and just, run roughshod over your people. You can't be unethical about how you're trying to get something done. It's not just being effective to reach a certain goal or a target. It's about also how you get there. And I like how Harry Reeder says, he defines effectiveness. He says, it's doing the right things in the right way at the right time for the right reasons. I'll say that again. It's doing the right things the right way at the right time for the right reasons. And so that's, a good understanding of what it means to be effective, because as leaders within the Church of Jesus Christ, I mean, this is exactly what we want to do. I mean, we want to do the right things. We want to do things that are going to restore health and vitality to the church. We want to do it the right way. We don't want to manipulate things. We don't want to take an unbiblical path. We don't want to take a shortcut that's not really going to help us get where we want to go. We want to do it at the right time. We want to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading and where our people at. And we certainly want to do it for the right reasons, for the honor and the glory of the Lord. So what we have here so far is a leader is someone who's exerting influence. You're an outside force pushing people in a good direction that's going to help them effectively accomplish something. Okay? And then finally, the third piece for this is a leader helps people do things together. So we're not just like, your ministry. We're not just this like mob of people who are loosely connected. We are people who within the church who are in the capital C, like the big church, as Christians, that we are people who are working together for the same purpose. And so the idea is that we are going to cooperate in what we do. Certainly the Bible has much to say about this, that we function as a body, that there's all different parts, and the arms and the legs and the ligaments and the bones and the muscles and the nerves and, the hand, everything is working together to get somewhere. If I wanted to walk across this room, my right and my left leg and my arm, like it all have to work together to get there. And that's what a leader does. It helps individual people get to this defined mission together, that they can achieve it together. So the idea is a leader is getting everybody pulling in the same direction. So in our church, in our children's ministry, we have this rope, and it's kind of like a circle. And sometimes the kids will play a four-way tug of war. So you have four teams, and everybody grabs kind of one section of the rope, and then they just start pulling. And guess who wins? Nobody. Because everybody, you've got people pulling in four different directions, and all that game does is just tire out the kids. That's all it does. And in fact, that's what we use it for. When they're wound up, they're high strung, they need to burn out some energy because they're kind of being squirrely, bring out the four-way tug-of-war rope, let them pull on it for 3 or 4 minutes, and then they've burned off some of that energy that they bring in with them. Think of that versus if everybody on a tug of, you know, is on a rope and everyone is pulling in the same direction. How much more effective that is, that your hard work, it's not canceling each other out, but you're really pulling together. And that's, I think what we think about in terms of like a good leader is you're pulling everyone together, moving in the same direction. So I think Harry's definition of what a leader is, a leader influences others to effectively achieve a defined mission together, that's a great definition, a really broad definition for leadership. Again, I think this works in the church. I think this works in the business world. I think this would work in the military. Any place, this is what a leader is. But I did say that we're going to look at two definitions, and the next one we're going to look at is from Henry Blackaby, and Henry takes it like a step further, and he defines what spiritual leadership is. And this is from his book, Spiritual Leadership. It's a wonderful book by Henry Blackaby. It covers a lot more on spiritual leadership than we would have an opportunity to do in this course. But I would highly commend that book or that resource to you. And so anyway, what Blackaby says is that spiritual leadership is moving people onto God's agenda. So let's break this down too, and we're going to look at two different pieces of this. So first, spiritual leadership is really about movement. It's about getting people from point A to point B. If we use the biblical imagery of shepherding, it's about getting the flock from going to this pasture to this pasture over here. And it's about getting them to where they are, to where God wants them to be, where they need to be. So, again, it's influence, but influence in terms of movement. And a shift and action being taken. But where are we moving them as spiritual leaders? We are moving them onto God's agenda, okay? And that is just really, really, really significant here. Because what we're trying to do as leaders within the church is not to get people to do our thing. We want them to do God's thing. Now, our role is not to just try to come up with an idea and then ask God to bless it and hope it works. Our role isn't to, you know, corner up in a room and come up with a bunch of strategies all on our own, independent, and studying, you know, whatever about our community and our church. And we think it's often up to the leader to come up with the vision and the plans and all this. Well, that's not really the way it works. And that's the way I'm sure it works in a business setting, but it's not really how it works in a church. What we are trying to do with spiritual leadership is move people onto God's agenda. A couple lectures ago, we talked about vision. And just kind of revisiting that, a vision is a process of discernment. It's like, where is the Lord leading? What would God have us do? Where is the Lord actively working? Okay, where do we see his fingerprints? Where do we see his movement? Where do we, you know, observe people being transformed and changed? What doors or windows is God opening for us to go take advantage of? And so we are a spiritual organization by definition, right? If we're talking about leading others and vision and all this kind of stuff, there has to be this very heavy spiritual component to it. Okay, so I really like what Blackaby says. It's about moving people onto God's agenda, taking them from where they are to where you see God working. Okay, and this is really, if we want to take a step back and just say, well, what biblical merit does this have? This is very much the way that Jesus was a spiritual leader to other people. How Jesus influenced people, how Jesus got them to move from where they were to where God wanted them to be. So John 5, 19 through 20, listen to what Jesus says. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. So Jesus says, I'm not coming up with all this stuff. I look to see where the Father is active, and then I just do what he's doing. That's spiritual leadership. That's how Jesus is moving and leading. He says something similar in John 8, verses 26 to 28. And he says, I have much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, which is talking about his death and pending resurrection, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. So Jesus, again, he's like, what I do and what I say, it isn't from me, it's what I see my Father doing. I see his agenda, I see what he's trying to accomplish, and then I do that. And certainly, that was what led Jesus to the cross, because he saw that was the saving activity that God was at work doing, and he participated in it, right? And then one more verse. John 12, verses 49 and 50. Jesus says, for I do not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his commands lead to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. You know, again, I don't have to hammer the point home. We see, though, Jesus leads by identifying where people are at on where, what God is doing, and in helping people to move onto God's agenda. So, I guess the question we might want to say then is, in terms of we're thinking about leadership and our leadership, is how then do we do this, right? How do we help people discern what God's agenda is? How do we see it for ourselves? How do we help other people see it? And then how do we move them onto that? Well, I think certainly we look to the example of Jesus. And how did he know? Well, he had an incredibly close relationship with the Father, right? He spent so much time in prayer just being with the Lord, and being with his Father and talking to him and listening to him and pouring out his heart and asking, you know, and seeking where he was moving. So that's really the big thing. How do you be a good spiritual leader? I think first and foremost, it's about being connected to the Lord in a deep personal way. And this goes back a number of lectures where we talked about leadership, kind of the character of a leader. But one of the things we said is revitalization begins with a revitalized leader. Revitalization begins with a leader who is in tune with the Lord, what he's doing, what he's saying, where he's leading you and your whole ministry. And so if you don't have that peace, like that close connection to the Lord, you're not going to know where he's going. You're not going to hear his voice. And where you're going to be moving people is not going to necessarily be then onto God's agenda. In fact, I can almost guarantee it won't. It's going to be moving onto your agenda or the popular agenda in your church. But it's going to be misdirected. So Just a quick final challenge here for you as we wrap this up is, am I close enough to the Lord to see Him and to hear Him? And, I mean, you're in your own devotional life, in your prayer, in your worship, in your scripture study, are you in a place where you can see God at work in your church, your ministry, in your community, in that place where you really have a sense of His leading? And that just takes a lot of time and just patience, because, you know, God doesn't always speak exactly when we want. And then once I think you have a sense of that and you can share that with others, it's what can I do to effectively influence others to join the Lord? And that's the, you know, how can I create this movement? How can I be effective? How can I do the right things at the right time in the right way to lead them on to what the Lord is doing? So I think that's when we kind of combine we kind of have this reader Blackaby sandwich, and I think we put these two things together. I think we get a pretty good just basic definition of what a leader is, what a leader is supposed to be doing, and how our relationship with the Lord kind of factors into all of that. So I'm going to pray, and that you will be just the leader that God is calling you to be. And we'll get on to our next lecture soon. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you that you have called leaders out of the crowd, out of just the masses. And God, we confess that whoever we are, we are not worthy of leading anything. We're not even worthy of being receive the salvation we have in you, Lord. And yet you call us and you equip us and you empower us. Lord, help us to just trust in you through this process and not be feel like we have to do it all on our own and figure it all out. But Lord, just to trust you, that you've been at work through your people for thousands of years, and you will continue to do so until the day you come back. So Lord, give us peace and bless us in our leadership. We pray this in your name. Amen.